to 1 Samuel 15, and I'm not going to teach real long because I'm still, I guess, trying to get over this problem that I have in my throat. Don't even know if I'm supposed to be doing this at all, but in 1 Samuel 15, on Sunday, we left off in verse 14. Early on in this chapter, we saw where God commanded Saul through Samuel to completely wipe out the Amalekites. We saw that on their first military campaign, that Saul and the people disobeyed God. So first rattled the box right out of the gate, ever how you want to say it. Saul, as the leader, the king, and the people disobeyed what God told them to do. They didn't get through one city. And there were a lot of cities they would have to go through, but they didn't get through one city without disobeying God. They came to this city of the Amalekites. You see in verse number 8 that they spared the king, whose name was Agag, and they also spared, verse 9, the best of the sheep, ox, fatlings, lambs, and all that was good. Verse 10, we saw where God spoke to Samuel, told him what Saul had done. Samuel goes to confront Saul about his disobedience. And as soon as Samuel shows up, Saul greets him by saying, "Blessed be thou of the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord." He says that, you see, in verse 13. And I talked Sunday morning about how that showed he had a guilty conscience. He knew he hadn't done right, because that's the very first thing that he mentions when Samuel walks up. And then in verse 14, Samuel said, "What meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in mine ears and the lowing of the oxen which I hear?" And that obviously is a reference to the animals that the people and Saul had spared. The animals that God had said they were to wipe out. But as Saul is saying, "I have performed the commandment of the Lord," Samuel's able to hear those sheep and he's able to hear those oxen. And those animals tell on Saul. Saul says, "I did what God told me to do," but those animals tell the truth. Saul lied. The animals told the truth. They exposed the lie of Saul. And then you see verse 15, and this is one that Brother Chris mentioned in his message on Sunday evening. Saul says this in response to what Samuel asked him. And Saul said, "They have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed." Notice in that verse that Saul assumes no responsibility whatsoever for what has happened here. He puts all of the blame on the people. He says they did it. The people spared these animals. He doesn't include himself at all. Takes no responsibility. And he's the king. He's the leader. And here, look back at verse 9. Notice what it says here, verse 9. "But Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep," and so forth. It says Saul and the people. So it wasn't just the people. Yes, the people had spared certain of the animals, but it wasn't just the people. Saul was just as guilty, and really, because he was their leader, even more guilty than the people. But when confronted about what happened, he puts all the blame on the people. He assumes no responsibility for himself, which shows, as Brother Chris pointed out beautifully the other night, that he wasn't genuinely sorry at all for what he did. He's just trying to pass the buck, play the blame game, and put it off on somebody else. And that's how a lot of people are in life. When confronted about wrong that they have done, they immediately want to shift the blame to somebody else. It's somebody else's fault. And even if you can get them to admit wrong, they won't do it without a but. Know what I mean? Well, I know that I did so-and-so, but. And they immediately begin to make excuse and say something like, well, I wouldn't have done so-and-so if so-and-so, you know what I'm saying? They try to bring somebody else. It never is, or very seldom is, that a person just accepts and assumes responsibility for their actions and their choices. They want to put the blame on somebody else. I thought about it, and there's all kind of examples in the Bible. Brother Chris, I believe, went back to Genesis and mentioned about how Adam blamed Eve, and Eve blamed the devil and that sort of thing, and Adam also tried to blame God for what happened on that day. But there's other examples in Scripture of things along these lines. Like, for example, whenever Moses is up on Mount Sinai and he's getting the Ten Commandments from the Lord, and Aaron is back down there with the people of Israel, and because Moses is gone for a while, he winds up being up there for 40 days and 40 nights. But because he's gone for a while, the people come to Aaron and they say, we don't know what's happened to this Moses. Don't know when he's coming back, if he's coming back. Make us some gods that we can worship. Y'all remember this story? And he says, well, y'all break off your earrings and bring them to me. And so they broke off their gold earrings and they brought them to him. And the Bible says that he actually fashioned with a tool a gold calf for these people to worship. Now, later on, when Moses shows back up, he comes down the mount. He sees what's going on. Of course, the Bible says that his anger waxed hot. Moses got real mad about what he saw going on. So mad that he threw down those first two tables of stone that the commandments were written on and broke them. But he confronts Aaron about what happened. And you know what Aaron said? Aaron said, in essence, it was the people, just like Saul did. It was the people. They came to me and I told them to break off the earrings. Y'all remember what he said? He said, I just throwed them in that fire, and my goodness, out popped this cow right here. I'm not serious. That's in the Bible. That's what he said. I just throwed these earrings in there, and look here, this cow just popped out. See? But he blamed the people. The people came, and they pressured me, and they, you know, he put all the responsibility. You know what he could have done when those people came and said, make us some gods to worship? You know what he could have done? He could have said no. Right? Didn't he have that choice? He could have said, no, I'm not going to do that. Now, I don't know how the people responded. I guess, you know, they could have got upset and stoned him to death or something like that. But whatever would have happened, at least just say the worst happened and he died, at least he would have died with a clear conscience before God, knowing that he stood for what was right. But for the rest of his life, for the rest of his life, Aaron would have to live with that, knowing what he did on that occasion, that he caved in and he gave in to the wishes of the people and he led them into idolatry. But when confronted about it, he did what human nature does so often. He tried to put the blame on somebody else instead of assuming responsibility for his own actions. And that's just kind of how it is in society today. We want to blame everybody else for our shortcomings and our sins and our own rebellion. We want to put it off on somebody else. We weren't raised right. You know, if my mom and dad had raised me better, then I wouldn't be the way I am now. I have no doubt that the way children are raised definitely affects them later in life. There's no question about that. And I believe it's very important that parents be careful about the way they raise their children. But still, each and every one of us, each and every one of us, have a will to choose. And just because somebody around me has done wrong or somebody has influenced me to do wrong, I don't have to choose to do wrong. I can choose to do the right thing if I want to. And it just boils down to us assuming responsibility for our own actions. And I do not believe that any person, number one, can get saved until they assume personal responsibility. The only way anybody can get saved is to say, Lord, I am a sinner. I am guilty before God. So salvation depends on a person being willing to accept responsibility, personal responsibility. Lord, I am a sinner. I am guilty, and I need salvation. And when you're talking about a person that's saved already, that maybe backslides on God, gets out of God's will, the only way they can get back in fellowship with the Lord is to assume personal responsibility. Lord, I have backslid. Lord, I have done wrong. You cannot get things patched up with you and the Lord if you come back and say, Lord, yeah, I know I'm not where I need to be, but that's not how that works. It's Lord, I. Because here's reality. If I am not where I need to be in my relationship with the Lord, you know who I have to blame for that? Me. I don't have anybody else to blame for that. I certainly can't blame God. He hadn't moved. He's the same place he's always been. If there's a gap between me and the Lord, you know who moved? It wasn't him. I did. So to get back where I need to be, I have to accept responsibility for the choices I made that caused me to drift away from God. I got to do that. You cannot get saved. You cannot get back in fellowship with the Lord. Nothing can be accomplished until a person first accepts responsibility for their own actions and their own decisions. It's like a person that becomes an alcoholic or a drug addict. You know the first step in recovery? The first step in recovery is an alcoholic saying, I am a alcoholic. It's my fault. I chose this way of life. They cannot get help until they're willing to admit that it's their fault. That's the way it is in any scenario of life. It begins with accepting personal responsibility. But if you look here at verse 15, again, notice how he tries to put a spiritual twist on it to somehow justify what has happened. You'll see that again later on down in this chapter. But he says, and Saul said, they have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen, notice, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. He tries to put like a spiritual twist, make it sound spiritual. The reason we kept those good animals is because we're going to use them to sacrifice unto the Lord. See how he does that? Tries to justify it. You know a person is not sincere if, number one, they blame other people, and number two, they begin to make excuse for the wrong. If those two things are going on, you know that they're not genuinely sorry and there's no real repentance in their heart whatsoever. If they're blaming somebody else and coming up with all these different excuses to try to justify what they've done, they're not sincere in their heart. They're not truly repenting and trying to get things right with God. Verse 16, then Samuel said unto Saul, stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord hath said to me this night. And he said unto me, say on. Samuel says, you just stay right here and I'm going to tell you what God said. That is something that you see repeatedly in the life of Samuel. He just told it like it was. What God said to him is what he said to whoever he was supposed to say it to. He didn't hold back. He just told him the truth. He said, you just stay here and I'm going to tell you what God said. Saul says, say on. And Samuel said, when thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel, and the Lord anointed thee king over Israel? Now, look at what he says to begin with about Saul. He says, when thou wast little in thine own sight. He's talking about how Saul saw himself, when thou wast little in thine own sight. How Saul saw himself in the beginning when God picked him and chose him and had him anointed. How did Saul view himself at that time? He was little in his own sight. He wasn't full of pride. He wasn't full of himself. He wasn't an arrogant person. He was little in his own sight. That's the way he saw it, which, by the way, is how we ought to all see ourselves. Amen. We need to see ourselves as little. We don't need to have too high of opinion of ourselves, think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think. It is very common. Have you noticed in talking with people how common it is to hear them bragging on themselves? Have you noticed that? It seems like it's just kind of like that other thing we were talking about. It's just human nature. We get some kind of thrill out of bragging on ourselves, talking about all of our accomplishments and the different things that we have done. You know, we just love to tell people. Just imagine how many people would be saved if we bragged as much on Jesus as we do on ourselves. Just imagine how many more people we could reach if we talked about him instead of talked about ourselves. Told everybody how good we are. Now, we might not walk up to somebody and say, hey, let me have your ear for a little bit. I want to tell you what a wonderful person I am. We might not say it like that. But when you go up to somebody and you just start bragging on yourself and rolling out all these things you've done, look at me kind of thing, that's exactly what you're saying. I just want to talk to you for a little while so I can tell you how good I am. Just let you know what kind of person I am. And as I've said before, based on what the Bible clearly teaches, most of us think far too much of ourselves. And I am afraid that God doesn't see us the way we see ourselves many times. In our own sight, we see ourselves a certain way. How many of you understand tonight, it really doesn't matter how you see yourself at the end of the day. What matters is how God sees you. That's what matters. Because he sees reality. Sometimes what we see about ourselves isn't even reality. We have painted this picture in our mind of who we are, and it's not even a realistic picture. We're not near as good as we think we are. I was reading the other day, and it's a verse. It's just stuck with me all down through the years. But you know what the Bible says? This is straight out of the Bible. Okay, the Bible says that man, at his best state, y'all listening, is altogether vanity. That's what the Bible says. Man at his best state. You know what that means? That means you take a man and you make him as good as you can make him from a worldly perspective. You give him everything that you can possibly give him, everything this world has to offer. You give him the very best education that this world can give him. I mean, you just, whatever kind of knowledge this world can put in that person's mind, you give him the very best education, top notch. I mean, no greater education can this man get. You give him that. You give him all the money that any person could possibly want or possess. You give him all the popularity and the prestige and all of the accolades. You pin whatever you want to, do whatever you want for that man, that woman, that person, whoever it is. You get them at their very best state, and they're altogether vanity. That's what the Bible says about man down here. I don't think we see ourselves that way very often. But here's the thing about Saul that you need to know. Notice the very first, where it says in verse 17, and Samuel said, what's that first word right there? When. He says, when thou wast little in thine own sight. That word alone shows you that somewhere along the line, Saul had changed the way he saw himself. He says, when thou wast little. In other words, back here, that's how you saw yourself. But now today, as you're standing here in front of me, you no longer see yourself that way. He had had a change. He went from seeing himself as little to seeing himself as big. He changed from the beginning. What happened, by the way? What would cause him to change his opinion of himself? What would cause him to go from thinking little of himself to thinking he was all that and a bag of chips to go with it? What would do that? Well, it's, what was a big thing that happened in his life from that day to this day when Samuel's confronting him now? The main thing, what Brother Gene mentioned, he got anointed to be king, right? So he gets elevated to a position of power. He's a wealthy man now. He's got all these people under him. He's a leader. He's a king. And you know what that position did? It inflated his ego. It gave him the big head. So now, because he's king, he no longer sees himself as little. He sees himself as something. I'm something now because I'm the king. And really, the only thing that changed in his life was his position. If you look at him, nothing changed other than just this position he's in. And it happens all the time. We've talked about it, how you can take somebody and just put them in a different position and give them a certain title. And they're not really any different of a person than they've ever been. I'm talking about character-wise. They're not really any different than they ever were. The only thing that really changes is their position. They get a position of authority. They get a title. And suddenly, they now think they are something. Before, they thought they were nothing. Now, they think they're something. And all that changed is their title, their position. I believe that no matter how high a person goes up the ladder, they should never stop seeing their self the way God sees them. No matter what happens in their life, no matter what changes as far as their position, whatever, they should never get the big head about that. Because number one, who allows you to get that position? The Lord, right? So if you get a position, if you get some kind of elevation in your status or whatever, the Lord's the one that did that. So who should you give the glory to? Not yourself, right? You should give the glory to God. Give him the praise for it. You shouldn't think, well, look what I did, you know. Strut around like a banty rooster. Look what I did. No. Say, look what the Lord did. If you want to go to bragging, brag on him. When people start talking about how you've changed as far as your position and stuff, you know what that is? That is always a wonderful opportunity to brag on the Lord Jesus Christ. But what we tend to do is take it as opportunity to brag on ourselves. When it's an open door to say, this is what the Lord has done for me. I am what I am by the grace of God, as Paul said. That's the thing, to take that opportunity to brag on the Lord. And another thing that should keep us little in our own sight, even if we do get a position, is realizing that just as quick as he gave us that position, you know what he can do if he gets ready to? He can take it away from us. Just that quick. Just as fast as he gave it, he can take it right back from you. Case in point, Saul. He gave Saul this position. He lets him be the first king. Saul is rebellious. He's stubborn. He does what he wants to. He gets an inflated ego. He thinks more of himself than he ought to. And you know what God does? He takes back what he gave to him. He gave him the kingdom. He says, and we're going to read it right here, Samuel tells him, you have lost the kingdom. God gave it. God took it. That's what Job said, isn't it? Job said, blessed be the name of the Lord. He said, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He gives it, he can take it whenever he gets ready to. He did that for Saul. Verse 17, and we're going to stop here. Samuel said, when thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel? And the Lord anointed thee king over Israel. The answer to that is yes. It was when you were little in your own sight. Maybe, that is one of the major reasons why God picked Saul at that time. Because he considered himself little. He didn't think he was a big shot. Doesn't the Bible say that God resisteth the proud? But he giveth grace to the humble. And that's what the scripture says. God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. In the beginning, Saul was a humble man, but he let his power, his position go to his head, and ultimately it cost him his kingdom. Any question about what we looked at here tonight? Any questions? All right. Well, I appreciate y'all coming. Ladies, again, don't forget about Sunday afternoon at 2 o'clock, those of you that are able to go up and see Miss Edna. If y'all will stand up, we'll be dismissed. Brother Randy, will you dismiss us, please?